Six after the hour on Friday morning, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops have just wrapped up their meeting in South Florida. They will come back to all of our home dioceses and share a lot of the information that they worked together. And just a couple of days ago at the opening of their General Assembly, Cardinal Daniel DiNardo, who's the president of the USCCB, issued a statement that condemns the Trump administration's adoption of stricter asylum policies and the policy of family separation at the U.S.-Mexico border. You have probably seen how children are being separated from those trying to cross the border without any documents. Let's talk about that because, yes, as we've heard from the bishops here on Relevant Radio from the conference, that this does fall under the umbrella of respecting life. Let's talk about understanding this refugee trauma for those of us who are witnessing it, but also what about the trauma on these children who are being separated from your children, from their parents? You know, if you've ever lost your kids in a store, have been separated from them, the panic that goes through you and what it does to the kids as well and how it affects them. Father Timothy Graff is here in our New York studios with us. He's the director of the New Energies Office and Government Relations in the Archdiocese of Newark. Father Tim, good morning and welcome back. This is not a story about politics. This is a story about humanity. We're putting a human face on it. We're talking about children. And we know what we've probably been lost at some point in time. And you know, as a child, what that does to you when you're separated from your parent and how a parent will panic when they're separated from their child in a store at a parish carnival. Well, this is forcibly taking kids away from their parents. So how can we understand and sympathize with this refugee trauma that's going on right now at the border?
Yes, we've probably all had some experience, John, of that kind of separation. You know, you're shopping and the kid wanders off to the end of the aisle. Or, you know, you get hidden behind whatever. And I know for myself, even thinking back of my own childhood, the panic that sets in, and it's just for like 10 seconds. But you take that and you multiply it times experiences that we can't even imagine. And that's what these children are going through. I remember I had when I was a pastor, we had two children that came up from Ecuador. Their parents were already here, and it took them 4 months to get from Ecuador up to America. And the stories you hear, these children are so desperate. And Carlito, I think, was 6 or 7. And so I was talking to him, and I said, Carlito, tell me about the journey. Tell me about coming up. And he said, I remember saying goodbye to my aunt and hello to my mother. Those 4 months of experiences he had simply blocked out. That was the way he dealt with the trauma. And they all deal with trauma differently. But he had effectively blocked out 4 months of memories. And that's just the trauma coming up. And now with the new policy that's been set in place for the separation of parents and families, we're just multiplying that trauma again, again, and again. You know, the story's been picked up by the media of the woman who was, you know, in the detention center. You know, oftentimes when they come across the border, even if they're seeking asylum now, they're put into these, you know, this area, this center where they're processed. And she was nursing her child. What more natural thing can there be than nursing the child? And then the child was taken away from her while she was nursing her child. And she pushed back. And then she was arrested for resisting. And this is just getting multiplied again and again and again. And so the children are dealing with enough trauma already coming up, and then the trauma of being in a new culture, and then the trauma of separation. So they're going through a triple trauma all at once. And these are the most vulnerable of people. You know, these are our children. Think of how vulnerable your own children are, you know. But picture your children going through these experiences. So there's a whole even network of people on the internet saying, how do we deal with children of trauma from migration? You know, and so you have school psychologists on it, you have social workers on it, because it's a whole new field almost of dealing with these people, these children dealing with so much trauma, whether it's in the school, adapting to the new culture, the trauma of separation. You know, and then as the bishops speak out on it, you know, really speaking out on this as a moral issue, as this as something that we need to pay attention to because these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. These are not numbers. These are not statistics. These are people, you know, and the more we hear their stories and the more we hear what they go through, the more it's able to touch our own heart, no matter what we think about in terms of immigration policy.
Thanks be to God, Father Graf, that House Speaker Ryan and Congress are working on ways so we do not separate children from their parents if they get to the border. If these parents get to the border and do not have any documents, there's a way that they can stay together without yes. this irreparable harm and trauma, something that Cardinal DiNardo was talking about as well. And we should emphasize, and I think you and I have had this conversation before, but it's pertinent here, that the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and I know you've spent time in Washington, work very closely with the administration and with administrations in the past to protect our borders. The USCCB says that protecting our borders is important. So they're in tune with the administration and with most Americans to ensure border safety. And that's something that really needs to be emphasized in this conversation.
Yes, because you often hear people say, well, the church is for open borders. The church has never said she was for open borders. What the church is for a balance where we're able to find the protection that we need for those coming across our borders and also the protection that we the country needs from these borders, for our borders. And so we're always trying to find that balance, but we're not able to find that balance by tearing families apart. You know, the child that was taken away from his nursing mother, I don't think was a national security threat. So it's always trying to find that balance, which is for years and years and years, we're saying we need comprehensive immigration reform, where we have a way of processing people, where we have a guest worker program, where we have borders that are actually working, you know, border protection that's actually working. Because right now we're just putting more and more and more money into border protection. You know, and there are certainly less people coming across the border, but I think it's mostly economic. But especially now with the decision by the administration not to grant asylum requests. An asylum request is someone as simple as those who are fleeing either domestic violence or violence within their country, usually drug-related, drug cartel-related. I served for several years in Bolivia, in South America, in Cochabamba. And heavy drug presence. And so in the next barrio, the next town over, we had a guy who had fled the country because of a bad drug deal. And he came back 6 years later, thinking that it would be forgotten or the people would have been gone. He's home one day, and they find him in the town square the next day with 53 stab marks in his face as a sign that you don't mess with the drug traffickers. And that is just a regular part of life in Central and South America. So when you have people fleeing for asylum or victims of domestic violence, which is, you know, universal, and there's a whole process of an asylum seeker. You know, this is not someone looking for economic advantages of someone fearing for their lives. And we have a long history of this. We have a whole process of this. But now when the administration says, well, you know, we're not going to consider domestic violence for asylum seekers, what does that say? What does that say about our own inhumanity? You know, because I think one of the, as we talked earlier about the Bishops' Conference and the statement by Cardinal DiNardo, my own cardinal, Joseph Tobin, got up. He was the first bishop up to comment on that. And he said, you know, what the new policy is, I want to say this right, he says, it's consistent with cardiosclerosis and hardening of the American heart, which I think is a phrase uniquely his own. But I do see this. You know, we see it within the polarization within Washington, we see it within the polarization within our society, we see it within the polarization of the church, that we've given permission to hate. We've given permission to judge. in an unhealthy way. And that somehow this has come okay. Somehow this has become a moral stance. And somehow we've forgotten, you know, love of God, love of neighbor. Yeah, that can be expressed in different ways. But I think that the dehumanization that we've given to others has become an acceptable opinion, an acceptable way of thinking, an acceptable way of being a foundation for our actions and our policies. And frankly, that scares me, you know, because I see partly where it's leading now, but I see it getting worse before it gets better.
Father, that the phrase permission to hate, very powerful. Say, maybe it's their responsibility, but just wondering, how do we get accurate information out to potential refugees about what they'll face in trying to get into the U.S.? They might have maybe often have an incorrect idea, or maybe they have heard from relatives what's really going on, but they might be sold a bill of goods by people trying to get them across Mexico and into the U.S. and find out, suddenly their child is ripped from their arms.
Well, I think part of that is very difficult because most often the people, especially recently that we see coming across, are from rural areas. You know, you're in the rural areas of Honduras, well, you don't have access to the internet and sort of reading what's newest on CNN. So a lot of it's by word of mouth. But I think part of it, you know, because part of what is said by the administration, this is meant as a detriment, as a deterrent, so that people will not come across the border. Well, it's very hard to get that word out. But also I think there's a misunderstanding or lack of understanding of the desperation within these families' lives. You know, this coming across the border is no picnic. This is not, you know, you're taking a nice bus up to the border and you sort of cross and everything, and you're staying at a Holiday Inn. These are people fleeing violence, fleeing poverty, fleeing domestic abuse, fleeing drugs, fleeing whatever. And imagine saying, my life is so horrendous. My life is so much in danger, but I'm willing to take this risk and make this sacrifice not only for myself. You know, that in itself is a decision. That itself tells us something. But I'm willing to put my children through this as well so that they can have a better life, so that even that they can live. You know, I've dealt mostly with people who are escaping poverty. And, you know, I remember clear as day, you know, father saying, Padre, when your children look up at you and say they're hungry and you have nothing for them to eat, he says, you'll do anything. You'll do anything to feed your children. You know, and so the desperation within these people's lives, you know, it's even as much as all the stories that I've heard, I still can't enter into it. I still can't comprehend it as much as they do. You know, it's just so far outside of my experience. But I know it's true because I hear it again and again and again. You know, and these are the voices that need to be heard. These are the voices that need to affect our policy. You know, again, it's always that balance between, you know, secure borders and right of people to migrate and all those foundations of Catholic social teaching about migration, you know, especially under Pope Francis. So it's whatever we can do on the policy level, you know, the bishops say we need to push for. You know, unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be piecemeal at best, whether dealing with two Republican bills, dealing with DACA, which are part of a solution.
Right.
But any chance for comprehensive immigration reform, you know, we've come close a few times, but there's always been a stumbling block. Mm-hmm. But we keep trying, you know, because we're not going to get everything that we want, but if we can get most,
sure,
it's a good start.
Thanks be to God for the bishops working with the administration in Washington to work towards the comprehensive immigration reform, and we also pray to the Holy Spirit that they guide our leaders in Washington, D.C. with those two bills before Congress that would address these issues of taking children away from those coming across the border without any documentation this morning, giving some light on that. Father Timothy Graff, the director of the New Energies Office and Government Relations in the Archdiocese of Newark. As always, Father Tim, thank you so much.
You're welcome, John.